Act 1. Puppy does a pussy deal.
Look, said the Grim Reaper, with a less than impressed sigh. You can't just keep saying you're going to kill yourself and summoning me up. I'm a very busy psychopomp.
Sorry,
mumbled the scraggy middle-aged man on his messy bedsit floor.
But,
tutted the Reaper as he moved around the small, smelly room, his long, bony finger arching over empty beer cans and fried rice cartons. There's always a but with you. But then the sun came out, but then I found a happy pill. But.
To be fair to the Grim Reaper, he had been very patient with the wannabe self-harmer, but had now lost count on his long, bony, pale, dry fingers, the amount of times paperwork had been completed for the collection of this dead soul, only for a last minute, but.
I can't keep chasing this, grunted Grim, as the words flowed out in a long, garlicky, painful sigh.
Look, here's what I'll do for you, and it's the best you're going to get, because this time of year, I haven't got the budget to do deals with every waif and stray looking for a way out.
He strolled around the tiny bedsit awkwardly, screwing his face as each barefooted step on the sticky floor made him shudder. Oh, the thought of all that desperate dying mancum between his toes. In fact, the pile of used tissues made into some bizarre papier-mâché cock-shaped trophy on the mouldy sofa arm was enough to convince him to make a mental note to start wearing at least a pair of sandals when dealing with the great unwashed in future. No wonder Jesus never left home without a pair. The public are animals. Dirty, horny, unashamed animals.
Look, Arthur, sighed the Grim Reaper with a pause, checking the paperwork on his die pad to ensure he had the right name. It's a hectic period for us death collectors this time of year. Christmas is always crawling with loners and moaners who cry into their Christmas pudding, watching Home Alone and want to end it all. Generally, I don't have a problem with that, Arthur. There was almost a hint of sympathy coming through the smooth, low, deathly tones, until Grim managed to adjust his hood, making sure his dominant vocal was sarcastic. Arthur just sat on the floor, in the same position as when the Reaper had alighted, probably seconds away from being caught with his flaccid cock in his hand, thought Grim. It looked as if there was nothing else to keep Arthur amused in the damp, empty living quarters. Just hand and cock.
I'm sorry, sir, mumbled Arthur into his chin, using the word sir for the first time in his life, like an ashamed orphan in a Victorian novel.
Grim tippy-tapped away on his die pad, like a salesman in a dark, shifty store that really shouldn't exist, determined to close this situation once and for all. After all, while a failed suicide or a last-minute change of mind is a relief on a human level, for the Grim Reaper, it's very time-consuming and hits his budget very hard.
You see, Arthur, I have been back and forth to you a few times now, and while I get paid a bonus for bringing in suicides, each time you mess me around, I incur a lot of expenses I can't claim back, and that means profit is eaten away from other jobs. You can see my dilemma, Arthur, can't you? I mean, we all have to make a living. Grim explained in a very reasonable manner.
I mean, Arthur, if you've just walked outside now and a piano fell on your head, killing you, then all I have to do is come and spend a few minutes with your soul, listening to the usual, how it's too soon and can I give you just another few weeks? And then soon enough, I deliver you either upstairs or downstairs. Very smooth. Very cost-effective. And then tea and biscuits with either the Big J or Lucifer while we reach a deal for your soul, depending on how good or bad you've been. But you, with several call-outs for suicide non-completions, constantly drains my bank balance.
I see, replied Arthur. And he genuinely did see.
Although Arthur was now living in the human gutter,
He used to be a number cruncher in finance accounts of the local council's sanitation department. He was only too aware of the implications of cancelled job. He would often make a phone call to the depot managers responsible for public toilet maintenance, scolding them for wasted journeys. "I'm sorry, sir," he genuinely stumbled, feeling for the first time how his selfish behaviour had impacted the Grim Reaper, who was freelance and not holding the public purse. "So Arthur, let's wrap this up, shall we? Do each other a favour?" The Grim Reaper, of course, had this job which required a certain air of dominance, because most people didn't want to die, but he also had to show certain levels of sympathy, whether genuine or not. But today, he decided, was a day to be on the level and simply get the job done. "Now Arthur, my suicide numbers are a bit low this month, so I really need to get you done and delivered before the 31st to hit my target. That gives me about a week, so what I'm prepared to do for you is slightly unusual, but is designed for situations like this. I can give you one last wish, any wish you could dream of, and if you agree, I'll grant it now for 24 hours, and then I'll drop by this time tomorrow and take you away. Like that? It's almost like the death row last meal. You're going to lose it all, but you might as well feast before you do. How does that sound?" "Anything?" Arthur looks up from his crouched position for the first time. "Yes, anything. And then you die. Preferably of your own doing. But if I have to step in, I will. But trust me, I will make it look like suicide. I'm not doing this for kicks. Much." "Okay," replied Arthur, slowly moving to his feet, tucking his shirt into his stained jeans, unbuttoning them back up, before, unexpectedly screeching, "I want to bang the girl downstairs." The Grim Reaper, picking between his teeth with his wiry green fingernails, almost choked on a bit of this morning's forbidden fruit at the announcement and couldn't help but smile wryly. There were no airs and graces about the way Arthur issued his demand to the Grim Reaper. The irony wasn't lost on Grim that Arthur tried to make himself look presentable as he blurted his deepest desires out loud. And there was no romance here, or an idea that his last wish would in any way leave a legacy of mysterious riddles and wise discoveries. No. Arthur just wanted to come in the hot, curvy blonde woman who lived in the apartment below. Just bang her and die. Well, I suppose if you strip out all the shiny words and psychological mumbo-jumbo, then it's as good a wish as any. "The very same girl you've been wanking over since the day you moved in?" sniggered Grim. "Yes," boomed Arthur, with a chesty pride. A very different man. Now he thought he was about to do something that he wouldn't need a tissue or use sock for. An actual woman. His fantasy woman. "The very same girl whose shoes you sniff when she leaves them outside her apartment door?" sniggered Grim as he walked around Arthur, recoiling at the stench of old, crusty solo sex on his clothes. "Wait," asked the startled Arthur. "You see that?" "I'm not God, Arthur. I don't see all and hear all. It was just a lucky guess," sighed Grim at the whole tiresome episode. Of course, being the Grim Reaper was a dark job, but often it was incredibly rewarding. With heroic deaths to record, and celebrity downfalls to tease the world's social media forums with. But then there were also random days like this. Days that made it hard to get up out of your coffin in the middle of the night. A grubby man pleading for sex with a woman out of his league, or he won't kill himself. No class at all. Grim despaired at this modern plastic disposable society. Nothing like the old days, when a guillotine needed 30 bonjours to your neck before you were fully severed. Proper death in the old days. Real suffering.
not just swallowing a few tablets with unicorns on them, washed down with a fruity Merlot as Netflix shadows fell on your fluffy monkey onesie. But as the Death Collector on a mission, Grimm was looking for a way out for all parties. Although the problem he had here is that in his role as Death Collector, he is not allowed to influence the end of life. He can't put pressure on grubby Arthur to top himself, or slip a few pills in the wine glass of his own piss on the coffee table, just as he can't make the hot girl downstairs open her legs for Arthur's seedy little chipolata. Well, but where there's a way, there's a will. And maybe somewhere along the way, Grimm thinks to himself, there is the opportunity to dress up this suicide a little and make it more interesting than the tabloid headline, "Man bangs, then man hangs." So, muses Grimm out loud, as he circles Arthur with every other step sticking to the carpet. "I cannot make her have sex with you, and I cannot make you kill yourself, but I can manipulate a situation where you might be able to do sexual things, or at the very least, explode at the intense, insane levels of perving you can do on said hot woman downstairs. I'll let you have a night with her to do what you can, and then I'll expect you to honour your side with a quick and easy self-murder, where there's no cleaning up for me, and you leave a clear note saying what an excellent experience this was, and give me 5 stars on Grimm Advisor." He turns and looks Arthur in the eye. "Deal?" Of course, Arthur is desperate to get as close as he can to this vision of beauty living so near, yet so far from him. To be honest, he never expected his bold request of sex with her to come true, and in the excitement, all his selective hearing caught was perving at insane levels. So he held his hand out without hesitation. "Where do I sign, Grimm?" he said with an air of contentment and self-confidence, which, if he had displayed at any other stage in his life, might just have saved him from suicidal thoughts in a chemical-free life. Grimm puts the bone-shaped pen in Arthur's hand and points to the contract and waiver. "There. There. Initial there. Date there. 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 Thumbprint there," and so on. It was a complicated contractual document, considering a dead man very rarely wins in court. But you know Grimm and his department liked a tidy paper trail. "Very good," announced Grimm, and before Arthur could say, "lead the way," he twirled in a puff of smoke and flopped on the floor into the body of a fluffy little cockapoo dog. What the fuck? Arthur screamed, but no one heard. Maybe Grimm heard, but he didn't reply as he smiled and laughed to himself. Arthur was now a doggy, and his words were internal. In fact, Arthur was now a handbag doggy, and he needed to very quickly come to terms with the fact that he wasn't going to be heard ever again. And this shock rolled over Arthur as an overwhelming, thunderous wave of panic. He didn't see this coming. Well, after all, if a deal does seem too good to be true, then it probably is. Grimm towers over the fluffy little ball as it runs around his feet, yelping, probably interpreted as very loud and explicitly rude swear words, and smiles down at Arthur before he picks up the dog and releases it out into the corridor of the block of apartments. "Good luck," he says, as he waves off the yelping wreck into the concrete stairway. "Give her one from me," he smiles as he looks to the skies and vanishes away to Valhalla for brunch with his fiancée Brittany. Act 2. Cockapoo Do and Cockapoo Don't. "Bobbles, Bobbles," shrieks an anxious female voice below. "Bobbles, where are you?" she cries again, over and over,
before finally her shrieks turned to joy at discovering her precious handbag doggy on the floor above her apartment. "There you are," she says as she picks up Arthur, rubbing her nose against his and changing the tone of her voice to a squeaky, bimbo Barbie accent.
"Mummy got scared she'd lost her little bubbles,"
she said, as if talking to a newborn baby. "Fuck," thought Arthur, realizing he was now called Bubbles. And a dog.
"Fuck,"
thought Arthur, realizing he was now pressed against the firm, perfectly sized breasts of his red-hot neighbour. Or as she's now known, Mummy.
"Me," he shouts excitedly. "Fuck me," he shouts excitedly,
as if he really had won the lottery, which of course doesn't come out as grubby man cries of delight, but as fluffy Bubbles yelps. In fact, very quickly, Arthur discovers that perversely, the more he swears or groans out loud with creepy desire, the cuter the doggy appears to be in the bimbo's eyes, encouraging her to talk back to him more and cuddle him more. "Yes, that's right. Mummy was scared. Don't ever, ever leave me again like that," she shrieks, kissing Arthur over and over and squeezing him right into the cleavage of her low-cut top. Bubbles replies with the sweetest yelps right between her firm, soft breasts.
"I'm going fucking nowhere, don't you worry about that, Mummy."
So two hearts pounding for very different reasons. They go inside her apartment, and Arthur has a wry smile to himself at the masterclass shown by the Grim Reaper, by never forcing a situation, but by being the most creative at manipulating the dirtiest of dreams into the cutest of souls. And straight away, Arthur is struck by the thick air of horny perfumes in the apartment. Perfumes he often smells down the hallway, but of course as a cute little doggy, his now heightened sense of smell is enhanced to the extreme. He doesn't have to sniff the air anymore on the staircase for a fading smell, but he can feel it against his furry face. And that is hard on number one. He laughs, internally of course, because now he is a little doggy and his hearing is also heightened, and as she carries him into the apartment, hugging him close to her breasts, he feels and hears her breathing as if she was coming. His hard on hits boiling point.
"Me, fuck me,"
he screams as his tiny hard doggy cock throbs and aches as he rubs himself against her with excitement. "Yes, you are a good boy," she delights, putting him on the floor with kisses on his nose. Of course, being a dog, when she puts him down on the floor, the first thing he does is patrol the laminate flooring, sniffing out his territory. Now Barbie doesn't pay any attention to this, because she has seen her doggy do it a billion times, and so she chats away to him and herself about this and the other, as he makes himself back at home. But she has no idea that cute fluffy doggy body is now inhabited by a pervy drunk from upstairs, and there is a whole new purpose to the territory sniff. "Thank fuck the girl is messy," he laughs out loud to himself as Barbie replies with a smile at how happy doggy is to be home. Dirty knickers, socks and tights are all over the floor, like a spilt treasure chest in Arthur's eyes, as his sense of heightened smell takes it all in. The irony is not lost on him as he feels he has died and gone to heaven with all these dirty panties and items of clothes on the floor, waiting to be sniffed and licked clean. And he doesn't have to sneak about at 2 a.m. and hide it. He can just smell and munch away right there in the open. In fact, he thinks he could easily die happy just doing this for 24 hours, as he searches for the first time
the taste of her fresh wetness in the panties she wore last night in bed. The whole time he is searching to fill his face with pussy remnants from her panties, she is talking to him like he's her precious baby, talking in a squeaky Barbie voice to the fluffy doggy, and laughing at herself at how silly she must look talking to a dog who can't understand or answer her. Well, ordinarily the doggy can't, but today, with the creepy neighbour implanted inside it, doggy knows exactly what is going on as she runs the shower and prepares her towels, plays some music, and pours herself a glass of wine. Yes, Arthur hears random words, but he is far too busy snooping around the place on perv patrol to be too concerned about baby gurgles. This unimaginable freedom has his heart pounding. He can't believe his luck, and he would gladly have sold his soul to be in this dream ever since he first saw the girl in the apartment below. Well, actually, the price of this is his suicide in a few hours, so maybe he did sell his soul for a bit of panty sniffing. So, it truly now is his duty to snoop for panties and tights and shoes in every room of the apartment. Until, fuck, he wanders into the bathroom casually sniffing the floor for more treats when his heart skips a dozen puppy beats at the sight of her bending over from behind, slowly slipping her black laddered tights down her bare smooth little legs. Now this, he thought in a flash, must be what the Grim Reaper meant by the phrase intense, insane perving, as all of a sudden his world went into slow motion and the fluffy handbag puppy lost all sense of reality. With a spinning head and raging, hard, throbbing, hairy, dripping erection, this woman, this vision of beauty he had for so long fantasized about, was right before him, in a pose he had imagined a million times before as he lay on the sticky apartment floor above, cock in hand. And now, this time, instead of vague images put together in his mind, there she was, bending for him as he sat wagging his tail on her bathroom floor. Of course, she wasn't to know she was being perved on by a grubby, creepy man who was now inhabiting her puppy. Why would she? There isn't a fairy tale gossip column precedent in any of the glamour magazines she reads about this. I mean, there are lots of showbiz drama tales of exploding boob jobs and old men losing their cocks inside themselves as they get too old to even walk to the ATM, but not pervs inserted in dogs. Well, not this kind of insertion. But as she slowly undressed in her bathroom, bent over with her little short denim blue skirt raised over her perfectly rounded bum, those long, 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 smooth, slim legs being revealed, goosebump by goosebump, as her black, sheer, nylon tights slowly rolled down from thigh to knee to ankle. The puppy tail wags at the speed of light. The puppy cock reaches for the stars, and the yelps for attention are internally translated as a string of yes babies, urging the shapely neighbour to bend a little further and show those panties underneath the skirt. Let them ride up between her legs as she tugs the nylons over her sexy little feet with painted pink toenails. Fuck, 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 he blasted inside his fluffy little overheating skull as each bare leg was revealed and a glimpse from bottom to top gave a sneaky peek at the bright white panties up beneath her skirt. And what a perfect position a doggy has for upskirting, he grinned to himself in between breathless panting. Those little cotton panties fitted firmly against each tight cheek of her bum, easing smoothly and tightly between her legs, was just enough, on view, to show the perverted puppy the shape of her pussy lips for the first time. Tiny little bumps in her sexy little panties. The shape is like the light at the end of the tunnel. She turns at the puppy yelping and laughs, not realizing how close to the truth she is, as she playfully scolds the puppy, saying, "Are you watching me undress, you naughty doggy?" "Yeah, and wishing I could bang your brains out just like that," the cute little fluffy puppy yelps in reply. Tights rolled up on the floor, the tail wagging puppy makes an executive decision to come back and sniff those later, because now the show is only just warming up, and no self-respecting creep should consider missing any stripping action when this close to the stage. And the puppy is hard, but the puppy can't touch in the way he would like to on account of having no fingers to wank that tiny hard, hairy pancake smelling cock. And in any case, those cute little puppy dog eyes are constantly in need of wiping clear as the steamy shower threatens to blur the show. This is an insane kind of intensity Arthur didn't expect when he made the deal with the Grim Reaper, although it wasn't the first time a hard, untouchable cock and blurred vision had been his best evening of the week. But that ass though. Those panties hugged tightly against her as she wriggled and twisted and undid the zip to her little blue denim skirt. "Yelp, yelp, yelp," goes the puppy dog pervert, as she drops that skirt over her bum and bare legs, and all the way down to the floor. "Fuck, fuck, fuck," yelps the puppy dog's inner creepy old man, when she kicks away the skirt across the bathroom and turns to show the full sight of her tiny little white cotton girly hipster panties. If ever a puppy needed heart medication, then this was it. Heart racing, breath stopped, and little doggy cock aching to be emptied. "Stop it," she giggles. "Stop it, stop it, stop it, you silly doggy," she giggles helplessly as she brushes him away from her leg. Desperate times call for desperate measures, and Arthur could take no more. In a desperate attempt to relieve himself, he threw every paw and claw into humping her bare soft leg. Just those few seconds rubbed against her, cock on the leg, felt like everything he had ever dreamed of, as he had routinely wanked over her. Well, except for the fact he was never a dog in his fantasies. Actually, this was a rare moment of clarity he had, as he slid across the bathroom floor thanks to her little playful kicking him away. "I'm a fucking dog, with a hard on. What's that all about?" Well, he does have every right to check out just how weird this is, but that moment soon passes, because a red-hot body is inches in front of him. He can't have her, but he can sure as hell watch and rub his cock against the floor for now, as she lifts her little white strappy vest top up over a flat, soft, sapphire, pierced tummy button, slowly exposing her naked, braless breasts right in front of him. "Oh, if I died now," he thought, "I would die a happy man. Well, a happy puppy. And I will be dying very soon, so drink it up, pervert." The vest top flies across the bathroom floor, just as the little denim skirt did before it. They had done their job for the day. The little skirt was tight against her bum, so every observer could see her shape and hope, just hope, for a glimpse of panties with each bend or step. And the tight little top against her bare chest, teasing the shape of her firm, round, soft, 32B breast, the slightest of movement teasing a press of tiny nipple through the cotton. Those bare shoulders were hardly interrupted by the tiny straps, a basic top, but a level 1 suggestive top for the average pervert. "Just what are you doing down there?" she giggles as she leans down to ruffle the fur on the puppy's head while he lies on the floor, rubbing his cock furiously against the bathroom tiles for at least a tiny relief. "You are in such a silly mood today," she laughs, stroking him everywhere except the cock he wants her to stroke and rub right now, as her breasts flop so close to his face. Each goosebump on those pert mountains, within a breath of the puppy, her tiny pink fleshy nipples, so deliciously tempting. "If only I was human," he thought. "Human again," he growled. Well, if he was human right now, those little nipples would be in his mouth, and his bare hands all over those perfect titties, not long before his cock was between them, and then his cum all over them. But he's not human right now, much to his annoyance, and much to the pleasure of the Grim Reaper and his girlfriend Brittany. Oh yes, they can see. Eating lunch, watching secret cam on the iPad. Well, like Grim said earlier, you have to make something out of nothing in this job sometimes. And his girl loves some proper internet weird porn. So, kill two birds with one stone and all that. And this will get him some oral points somewhere down the line. "Do you think he's in pain and agony right now?" smiles Brittany, like a poisonous asp, as she takes a bite of her raw cock-shaped carrot. "Oh yes, baby," replied Grim, with more glee than he should have. There we see a man whose dreams have come true, but in a parallel universe. I would say that he will be describing his pain and despair to a therapist one day, but he won't, because he'll be dead soon, and I'll be a bag of satanic coins better off. "Ooh," exclaims Brittany with wide eyes. "That means I can get my new boots this weekend. The ones made of Norwegian bitches' teeth." "Yes, you can, baby waby baby," answers Grim as he playfully squeezes her cheeks. The puppy shivers a little. It's not because he's throbbed hard at the bare titties in front of him. It felt more like someone had walked over his grave. It was probably just the Reaper being wanked by Brittany as they watched on. But Barbie is a sight as she moves around the bright white tiled bathroom, those tiny white panties against her smooth, soft skin, clinging to the curves of her thighs and gripping to her inner thighs, so close to her sacred pussy. Puppyman, who is a connoisseur of the panty-clad shape of a woman, reaches and stretches his tiny furry head to get a view of just how tight, against her pussy lips, that cloth is. Maybe he should have asked the Reaper to be her panties instead. Just imagine the glorious scent and taste there, right now. It's almost a shame she is going to shower away that glorious liquor, he thinks to himself, before yelping randomly like a perverted Tourette puppy. A puppy cock feels the same as a man's cock when it's hard and desperate and throbbing. But right now, puppy paws are shit tools compared to man hands. No wonder the average dog just humps the nearest chair or bums his brother. Frustration must be huge. No wonder puppy ears are 7 to 1 human. This kind of stress would age any creature. Because her tease is never ending, as she stands looking at herself in the mirror above the sink, her back to Arthur, her bum so hugged and fuckable, as she undoes the hairband holding her soft strawberry blonde hair in a ponytail. Wow, just wow. His heart beats out as she shakes her hair free and loose, and her thighs and near naked body move in slow motion, her body just waiting to be held from behind, hands on waist and cock pressed into a bum. There, just waiting to be bent over and fucked, the puppy thinks, just as she bends, as if reading his mind, to slowly remove her panties. Yelp, 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 goes the puppy out loud, but internally it's just random words ranging from yes, get them fuckers off, to an incomprehensible prayer of thanks to God, in a language even God wouldn't understand, if he existed.
Do you think he will spontaneously combust right here, right now, as she takes them off? Brittany asks, without a trace of humour, eyes glued to the secret cam as she strokes the Reaper's long, bony cock up and down. He better not, groans the Reaper, as he watches the panties slowly fall down her legs on the cam to the rhythm of Brittany's hand teasing his hard-aching cock. The deal is suicide. I can't have him die in any other way. And to be fair, the puppy doesn't want to combust either. The show has only just begun, and as her legs release panties, he is so desperate with stretching neck to get a glimpse of bare pussy at the same time. Please, please, please. Of course, she doesn't know how much of a tease this is, but if she was working right now in a club for perverted gentlemen and their pets, she would have a big pile of notes ready to be stuffed in her holes. The way she takes the panties down her legs without showing pussy is art, pure art. Legs close and open and twist and turn, and panties get smaller and smaller as they fall to the floor. And still, the sight of pussy is denied the puppy. Even one last look in the mirror to see her hair, her back to the pervert, doesn't show him pussy lips at all. Her bare, sexy bum clenched as she grabs the towel which falls down in front of her on her brief few steps to the shower. You fucking bitch, yelps Arthur as she gets inside the steamy shower cubicle to the sound of hot water hitting her body and soft little moans eking through the glass door to show the pleasure she feels from those first few splashes. Arthur mutters furiously as he looks at steam and nothing else on the shower door, so makes his way over to the tiny crumpled panties on the floor. Might as well have a sniff and lick if she's hidden by the steam, he thinks to himself, and pushes the tiny panties with his nose. His superior sense of smell, as a puppy, picks up the scent straight away. Although the panties are so tiny, the sweetest drops of her pussy juices have managed to snuggle themselves deep in the gusset. And this is the moment Arthur has been waiting for. This is what her pussy smells like. This is his climb to the mountainous peak. He already knew what her feet smelled like after a hard day stocking shelves at the local supermarket, thanks to her leaving her smelly training shoes outside her apartment door. In fact, he had many a night enjoying that little taster, much like the men in his apartment might go and stand outside for a cigarette in the early hours. He would go sniff his neighbour's shoes. But now was a whole new level. Pussy. And this was a moment he wanted to savour for the rest of his life, which of course was now only a matter of hours. So closing his eyes and inhaling like a wine expert would over an uncorked bottle, he took in the smell of her pussy drops one by one, deep inside his nose and mouth and lungs and chest, until she was flowing through his veins and soul. Well, his soul and her puppy's veins. Enjoy it while you can, dude, smirks Grim as he twitches and wriggles and groans in Brittany's hand. And just what does that mean, grins Brittany as she grips his cock hard and tight in her little demonic fingers, wanking him down to force a loud groan and stuttered breath. Just watch, gasps the Reaper as he sees a few drops of pre-cum glisten on the top of his cock. Moments before Brittany leads down to taste him. The water and the steam swirl through the shower as she washes her naked body slightly out of sight, slightly hidden apart from a few suggestive shadows and shapes through the airborne water. The puppy man sniffs the air as the fruity body lotion mix hits his nose. It should be a turn on, maybe. But the perverted puppy knows this means one thing, and one thing only, disaster. The smell of the panties is fading, and he hasn't even tasted her sacred drops yet. In a flutter of panic, he goes to grab the tiny panties to open them and lick them clean of her. But then, and only then, does he realise he has paws, not hands. Yelp, yelp, yelp! Oh, for fuck's sake. He moans, as his fluffy paws do nothing but push the panties around the floor. Yelp, yelp, yelp! He squeals in terror as the panties hit puddle and puddle of shower water and steam droplets, thus reducing the chances of finding any pure pussy juices to taste. The wetter the panties, the more diluted the smell and taste. Any self-respecting puppy pervert knows the science behind this. Watch this, baby, announces the Reaper, as his bony hands lift Brittany by the hair off his cock, where she was happily sucking away. Here is the sight of a man heading towards the beginning of his end. And Arthur knows it, his yelps going unheard as his temporary nose and paws push the panties deeper into the abyss, impossibly trying to unravel the tiny twisted panties just for one lick of the pussy juices in the gusset. But with the finesse and accuracy of a bulldozer trying to hold hands with a tower block. Oh, look at his little face, sympathises Brittany, as she slows her wanking hand on the Reaper's cock to a gentle, playful tug. Arthur sits there, the loneliest and saddest moment of his life. His naked fantasy inches away, but hidden by steam, and the last few remaining sacred pussy drops diluted away on the bathroom floor tiles, making sure he will never know the taste of her sexual secret place. There are no words to describe the despair and disappointment of a man who almost had the Holy Grail in his hands. Pause. Yelp, 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 he manages, in a whimpering voice. Feeling sorry for himself, Arthur, head bowed and tiny legs moving in snail-like motion, takes his sad puppy dog eyes and leaves the bathroom. Well, tries to leave the bathroom. The steam, so thick and cloudy, like the fog on the moors, delays his departure as he walks into the laundry basket a few times and walks into the waste bin a few times, bangs his head on the heating rail and gets tangled up in her twisted panties. But eventually, he manages to find his way to her bedroom and curls up on the feathery rug to doze into a well-earned nap. Don't stop, don't stop, begs the Reaper, as Brittany picks up the pace of her fingers wrapped around his long, wiry, bony cock. Oh yes, big boy, urges Brittany, as she speeds up and tightens her wanking action on her death collector, moaning erotically, you love a dying dream, don't you, Reapy? Come for me, come like that shitty puppy can't. That did the trick. Nothing like the torture of an empty soul to empty the balls of a death collector. And this he appeared to like a lot, as Brittany wanked him dry of every drop, all over her face and black velvet gothic dress. And she liked it a lot, because she likes cum, and she likes boots made of Norwegian bitches' teeth. Ah, look at you, his neighbour sighs sweetly as she walks into the bedroom, carrying her bottle of wine and glass, wrapped just in a little towel. You've had quite an adventure today. No wonder you're tired, she says to him again, as a mother speaks to a newborn baby. Yeah, I have, he thinks to himself. He isn't thinking about being lost on the stairs. He is thinking about his new disability, being unable to wank on account of having paws. You don't see this event in the Paralympics, do you? But well, she might be clean and free of the day's pussy drops, but never say never, he thinks to himself, lying on the rug, lifting his puppy dog eyes as she leans over the bed to pull back the bed sheets. The little white towel is surely only the size of a hand towel for the average working man. It might even be a tea towel for drying pots in the kitchen. Because the way she has this tied covers just slightly over her nipples and just slightly over her bum. Not that pervert puppy is complaining as she bends over the bed to pull the sheets back and he gets a full glimpse of pussy from behind. That's quite a view, he thinks to himself, with her bum raised in the air a little
as she reaches over the bed. The little towel rides up as her legs part a little, her bum parts a little, and the glorious sight of her smooth, tight, little pussy glows under the bedroom light. Perfection, he thinks to himself, resting his furry head on his legs and paws, just taking in the view, cock aching, but resigned to a few presses against the rug. The way she bends, bum arched, pussy ready to feel the split of a cock tip right as she is now. What a tease. What a bitch doing this to me. If only I could grip her by the hips right now and nail that pussy into the bed. This is pure torture now, baby. You don't want to miss any of this next bit, the Reaper says, grabbing a popcorn bowl as Brittany looks up from her footwear catalogue. So, off goes the towel in the same carefree throwing style she showed earlier, with her skirt and vest top, and it lands right on the puppy's head, to giggles and Barbie-style apologies. Of course, Arthur sniffs and licks and sniffs, but the moment has gone, and it's just fake fruit smells now. "Oh, poor doggy, come and sit up here," she says consolingly, patting the bed next to her, as she lays back completely naked, puffing up the pillows to lean against as she drinks her glass of wine. "Come on, Bobbles, come and sit with Mummy." Well, maybe this is a benefit of being a puppy then. Arthur can't think of any other occasion in his life when a woman has patted the bed, commanding him to join her. Especially not a woman as hot and seductive as this one. Of course, Arthur has lived his life paying no attention to hygiene or social skills, which does somewhat limit his appeal to women. So this may also be a feature of his failure thus far. But jump he does, and jump again, and jump again, until eventually a giggling, naked seductress leans over the bed and lifts the tiny-legged fluffy ball onto the bed. As if things couldn't get any more humiliating for the perverted puppy. "I'd have him jump up and down a few more times," announces Brittany, as the puppy gets airlifted to the bed. And just as she's about to mock Arthur further, she halts and groans, with a rush of blood to her head, as Grim puts his bony fingers inside her dark panties. "Whew," she gasps, as his fingers scrape her pussy. "Whew," she squeals with delight, as without a trace of romance or care, he puts his long, grating finger deep inside her pussy, just the way she likes it. Just the way he likes to shut her up. And so, once on the bed, Arthur of course sniffs around, but his worst fears are confirmed, because the bedsheets are freshly washed and dried too. "I just love fresh bedding at night to relax and cuddle up to," she tells her puppy, who glares back at her like she's an idiot for leaving not one trace of cum for him to savour. But he goes through the motions anyway, before finally settling down at the bottom of the bed by her feet. Obviously, in direct line of sight, right up between her legs. He might have no wanking hands, but he's still retained all his creepy faculties. Now of course any guy who lays at the bottom of the bed, staring up at her naked body, bare firm, perfect tits, cute and sexy glistening pussy lips, while rubbing his cock against the bed, might get a swift kick in the face. But the disguise of being a puppy was glorious for just lying there and dry humping, with the added bonus, her soft, bare feet and toes would randomly brush over you, perving at its best. Almost hypnotic to look over every shiver and tremble and breath of her body as she relaxes or drinks or just plain flicks through whatever she is doing on her phone in her hand. And it wasn't long before the highly sensitive fluffy ears of the perverted puppy pricked up into action, snapping him out of his hypnotic gazing between her legs. Was that a sexy sigh I heard? Well, it was faint, but it was definitely a twist in the breathing rhythm she had been displaying previously. Maybe, he thought to himself, he was imagining it, and lay back down, head on furry legs, and pussy-gazing himself into a sexual meditation he could only ever achieve before with marijuana, and then jump in it again. That was a definite gasp of breath, he thought. And not just an out-of-breath, fat-ass, struggling to get up the stairs kind of breath he felt every time he came home to his apartment. And he was right. Because wearing his Scooby-Doo detective hat, the perverted puppy took his gaze away from smooth, wet pussy for a moment to investigate, and his most amazing suspicions were confirmed. The dirty bitch is only playing with herself. Act 3. Twist in the Yelping Tale. Arthur was so busy lying there in a pussy-induced trance, he missed the start of an upper body revolution going on, as his sexy Barbie girl neighbour relaxed herself in a fantasy trance of her own. In fact, if it wasn't for his newfound supersonic radar hearing, he would never have guessed her breathing was lifted sexually as she began to tease herself subtly. She wasn't bashing herself with a huge rubber dildo. She maybe wasn't even the type, despite Arthur's secret fantasies on the floor above her. But she was definitely a woman who knew how to meddle light-fingered as she snuggled into the big fluffy pillows and teased fingertips on breasts. Arthur had never watched an actual woman actually pleasing herself in actual real life. Of course, he had seen a few on the internet, but this was far from those images of a woman bashing herself over the head with a big black dildo. This was classy. This was erotic. This was probably how a princess would tease herself. "God, that looks shit," screamed Brittany, watching the Barbie doll tease her boobs with one finger at a time, as Grim fingered her burning hell pussy brutally with his scaly, rugged, bony fingers. One insider, two insider, three insider. "What's the fucking point in that?" Brittany mocked as Grim ripped her knickers down her tattooed white legs. "Turn around," demanded the death collector. "Bend over," he grunted, forcing her face down towards the screen of his diepad as he pulled aside his robe, taking out his wearily hard, deathly cock, which quite frankly, looks like it's seen better days. Brittany grunts in the staggered gothic style as the mighty Grim Reaper splits her pussy from behind, punching his throbbing cock deep inside, warming himself up for action, while these two afterlife lovebirds watch the final moments of Puppy Man's life unfold. This is where the saying, "like death, warmed up," comes from. Probably. But at this moment in time, Arthur had no idea what was going on in the darkest, deepest hellholes of time. He was just a fluffy puppy dog, albeit perverted and creepy, sitting on the end of his owner's bed, looking up at her body as she started to play with herself. The only way this could improve was to be sitting back on a deck chair watching this with a cigar and dry martini. But for now, those soft little fingers caressing those perfectly perked breasts were as close to heaven as he could get. Well, for the next few hours at least, if he makes heaven. "Oh yes," Barbie moans to herself as her fingernail circles her little pink nipples, so sweet and cute and edible. Just to be able to feel her nipple softness in his mouth before she hardens on him would be a dream come true, Arthur imagines, as her fingers slalom around the firmness of her breast, goosebumps and shivers and tingles flying down her body. Each time she whispers an "oh yes," he notices her hips lift a little, imagining the tingles adjoining hands with the tingles between her legs. Each time she whispers, "oh yes," to herself, the creepy puppy dog edges an inch between her legs, hoping to get close to the smell and taste he craved so desperately a few hours before on the bathroom floor. It isn't too long before a hand starts following the tingles and shivers down her body, leaving her breast, and reaching her tummy on the erotic journey to her pussy. It isn't too long before her sexual mood changes and the whispers are more breathy and louder, and her oh yes, changes gears, goes up a level. I want you so bad, baby, I want you so bad. Pervert puppy lifts his head, eyes shifting around like a submarine periscope as his fluffy ears prick up to this change in sexual tone. She's watching someone on her phone, he deducts, and she is. Leaning back on her big pillows, head tilted, watching her phone in one hand, as the other hand, having teased her titties, now moving down towards her pussy. Well, the dirty bitch, laughs Arthur internally, which comes out as a snort on the bed. I need to see this, he says to himself, as he raises to go and check it out at the end of the bed, but can't quite get an angle to see the phone. And it was quite a dilemma for him, because sat there between her legs, with a hard doggy cock, he felt for so long he was in a direct firing line for her wetness, should she come so hard she squirted, but he also needed to see who was making her this horny. The sounds coming from the phone were for a seemingly everyday kind of video clip. It wasn't an internet porn site because there was no cheesy music or fake orgasmic screams. It seems to be. Well, I don't know, maybe secret cam footage. Intriguing. This girl may have a dark side. Maybe a psycho stalker. You need to keep watching this, baby, it's about to get good, the Grim Reaper commands breathlessly as he hammers Brittany's pussy from behind. Just you concentrate on nailing me, Brittany snaps back. Meanwhile, back on the bed, the drama continues as the puppy man shuffles between direct pussy view and trying to sneak a peek at what's on the phone screen, while the hand of the newly anointed dirty whore reaches the end of the line and nipple teasing becomes pussy teasing. Oh, baby, she moans again to the mystery man she's watching on her phone as her fingertip gently scrapes each pussy lip in turn. Her soft, smooth, bare legs open for playtime, her sexy knees lifted in the air as she eases down a little, lying on her back, wet and warm and ready. Yelp, 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 says the doggy slowly, drooling like Victoria Falls. Yelp, yelp, fucking yelp. Oh baby, I want you so deep inside me, she moans louder, looking into the phone, almost as if she's talking by video call, but she isn't. Oh baby, I want you so bad, all I ever think about is your cock and cum so deep inside me, she groans, as her fingertips part her pussy lips, and her wetness covers her finger down to her knuckle as she slides it inside herself. The puppy man could at any point now explode, in more ways than one. If a puppy can have pre-cum on its little hairy cock, it has now. If a puppy can come without touching and hit itself in the eyes, it can now. If a puppy's head can explode all over the ceiling, it can now, because as she starts to finger herself before his very eyes, he feels an overwhelming sense of being part of something so erotic he didn't even have the imagination to fantasize about it before this day. Sitting between her legs on the bed, watching her parted pussy lips shine with pussy juices as she fingers herself, he could feel the trembles and shivers going through her body. Looking up at the way her legs and knees lift and move and tremble with each movement of her finger in and out of her, he felt so desperate to just for one moment be able to lie there and hold her down, feeling his cock splitter just for a few little strokes in and out of her. And he knew she was at the height of her fantasy, to see the wetness and aching movement as well as the look in her eyes as she watched the mystery man on her phone so lovingly, with a desire you can't fake. And the more she teased, the more she brought her pussy to an aching point of no return. Finger in, finger out, two fingers in, two fingers out, tweaks and flicks and strokes of her little clitty. Every little play and tease she had discovered over the years brought her close enough to climax, to feel the volcano bubble, but far enough to just hold off for an extra few moments.
"I want to come, baby," she gasped so needily. "Please let me come, my baby," she pleaded into the phone as her body began a sequence of trembles that would only end up with one result: a soaked bed and very, very loud and aggressive, "Oh yes," screams. Tail wagging and ears spiking and nose twitching, the perverted puppy has no intention of leaving his squirting post right now, but he desperately wants to know what she is watching on her phone to get her so wet and desperate for cock right now. He wants to see this, but he also wants to be in sprinkling distance of her pussy when she gushes and squirts her shower of cum in his direction. A face full of her cum and pussy juices is the last meal of a condemned puppy he has no intention of missing. "God, baby, I'm so close," she screams as her body trembles and her fingertip motion spins her clitty into a whirlwind of sexual pleasure. "I'm coming, baby," she screams.
"Watch this," the Grim Reaper growls as he bangs harder and harder into his bent over gothic whore, holding her head up by the hair so she can see the iPad screen.
I'm watching," she screeches with what little breath she has left. Fuck me," she begs, and he does.
The Grim Reaper fucks her brains out from behind as they watch the naked neighbor bring herself to a climax. Pure, intense sex and masturbation going on all around the fluffy little creepy puppy who is hard but can't touch, oblivious to the machinations of the devil surrounding him. Until,
"Yelp, yelp, yelp!"
"What the fuck?" the puppy man cries when the phone falls from her hand as she comes, giving him the first glimpse of the video playing on her screen.
"Yelp, yelp, yelp! The bitch has been recording me!"
"Indeed, and fingering herself silly watching you too. How about that for a twist?"
I'm coming," shouts the gothic whore as the Reaper's cock smashes her pussy at the sight of the perverted puppy eyes, popping in disbelief.
His little fluffy brain is in shock at the sight of his grubby human drunken face on the phone of the woman he has lusted for the last few years.
"Take that, you little bitch," orders Grim as he punishes her pussy with a cock battering she's never had from him before. Blast after blast of deathly cum fills Brittany's pussy as he watches the puppy man, motionless, on his iPad screen, furry mouth open aghast, in a daze, as the Barbie squirts her cum, wave after wave, in his eyes, and fur, and nostril.
"Fuck me, that was nasty," laughs the Reaper as he pulls his cock out of Brittany and slaps her bare bum cheek.
"Got to dash, baby, see you at supper," and with a whoosh he's gone, and with another whoosh he's back. "Forgot my scythe," and another whoosh, and he's gone.
"Yeah, thanks," Brittany mutters sarcastically as she tries to pull her wet, torn panties back up over a cum-dripping pussy. The puppy was dripping too, a face full of squirted Barbie juices, but he was still in shock, seeing himself on her phone screen, shocked that all along she was secretly filming him to use for her sexy pleasures. Shock, thinking that all along, instead of sneaking downstairs to sniff her shoes in the middle of the night, he could have just knocked on the door with his cock in his hand and demanded a good old-fashioned sucking. "Oh, the irony," he yelped. And with a wry smile of pride as he sat on that bed between this naked princess's legs, covered in her pussy juices, he bellows a howl of success and sticks out his little doggy tongue to at last taste the sweetness on her pussy for the first time. But whoosh, too late, he's back in the grubby piss-stained flat above his human body and not a drop of pussy juice to sample. Arthur, welcome back, grins the Reaper, as he stands over a bewildered man trying to get his bearings. Have you got a hard-on? Arthur asks the Reaper, staring up at his midriff in his long dark cloak. Yes. It's been a very good day at work, replies a satisfied soul collector, smelling of death sex and gothic juices. Now, I do believe we had a deal. Oblivious to the fact he's moments away from having to give his last breath away, Arthur scratches his head and rambles out loud, his disbelief, like a drunken tramp on a park bench. She's been filming me, he mutters awkwardly. She fingered herself senseless, looking at secret recordings of me. She come wanting me. She squirted all over me. And yet, you washed me away before I had a chance to even lick one drop of her. Why did you do that, you bastard? Grim looked down at this sorry state of a man as he cried into a curled up ball. Here. Grim motioned to Arthur to grab his golden hip flask in the shape of a skull. Get this down you. Drink it. Drown your sorrows. Taking the hip flask and swigging a few mouthfuls from it, Arthur looks up with a glint of realization in his eyes. I could have fucked her at any time I wanted, couldn't I? Yes, of course, confirmed the Grim Reaper, as he made a few final notes on the diapad. If you had a pair of balls, an Aster, instead of lying here pissing your pants every night, then yes, you could have fucked her brains out, but that's life. That's hindsight. You fucking knew this all along, didn't you? Arthur growls. I'm the Grim Reaper, replied. Well, the Grim Reaper. I have access to much information. You could have fucking told me. All these times you've seen what an emotional mess I am. On the verge of suicide, Arthur grumbles, his heart breaking in front of the death collector. You could have given a guy a break and told me. Things could have been very different for me. Yes, of course, things could have been very different if I had mentioned this, but you know, I am Death, said Death. I'm not your auntie knitting you jumpers and baking you cakes to take to the girl next door so you can get into her panties. I am Death. I have targets. I have a girlfriend who likes boots made from the teeth of Norwegian bitches. So if you will, take one last look around and I'll be having your suicide as we agreed. Thank you very much. Arthur looked around. And you know what? He didn't want to die now. You know what? This has taught him a lesson, he thinks to himself. And now he knows, with this newfound confidence, that he could be loved and desired. You know what, Mr. I Am Death? Booms Arthur, as he stands face to face with the Grim Reaper, with a determination for the first time in his life not to come out of a situation second best or with damaged esteem. You know what, Mr. I Am Death? I am better than this. She wanted me, and she is on a plate for me. And I don't care who the fuck you are. You won't be taking my dead soul anywhere. There is no deal. I am calling you out on manipulation and false promises. You think you're a clever bastard. But this all-new confident me is telling you, I am marching down those stairs now, and I'm going to drink her until she is dry. I won't be killing myself today, thank you very much. What do you fucking think about that, Mr. Smarty Reaper Pants? Arthur smirks right into the face of the Reaper. Well, replies a very calm Mr. I Am Death. I'm thinking you probably shouldn't have drunk out of the hip flask of death then, if that was your plan. And there it ended. Arthur never tasted a drop of his neighbour's pussy juices, and his soul was taken by the hand of the Grim Reaper and delivered with bonus payment to the devil. The Grim Reaper did get a very good Christmas bonus for his high suicide completions, and Brittany was so happy with her Norwegian bitch's teeth boots, she let her boyfriend come on her face every morning for the whole of January. The neighbour, well, she was just fine. A new drunken hobo moved into Arthur's apartment, and he did have the balls to get into her panties, which she gladly dropped whenever he and his hobo friends asked. And she is now the proud owner of an online dating website, fuckahobo.com.